Blog Talk Radio.
Politics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, calling in via the phone today, so my voice may sound a little different. I have Chuck on the phone here, who is going to tell us about his amazing experiences with reptilian beings. Are you there, Chuck?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, you're very welcome. You kind of piqued my curiosity there last night, and I wanted to follow up a little bit with our discussion. And I remember from talking to you last night that you're a retired policeman, and not only that, you also worked with the Highway Patrol, correct?
Yes, I did, Colorado Highway Patrol, State Patrol, which is pretty interesting, but it was too much like the military, you know, so that's why I went ahead and changed from that to city police. So.
And I remember you saying when you were a highway patrolman that you had a special number you had to call if you had encountered any UFO-type situation, correct?
Yes. Well, when I was a state trooper, it was back in 69 through, I don't know, what, 5 years, something like that. We didn't have no number to call as far as anybody seeing anything or telling us about something. But later on, I guess, probably maybe 10, 15 years later, they have had too many people, I guess, stop them and say, hey, look up there, you know, this kind of thing. And they decided to figure out what is needed to report these or something. I'm not sure, but when my wife and I saw the two objects, excuse me, in Denver, just north of Denver, and when that state trooper pulled up there and asked me what was wrong, you know, if I had any problems, I said no, but looked up there, and that's when he took off like a streak of lightning. I couldn't figure out why, so the next day I called the headquarters, and I found out why.
So the state troop took off like a streak of lightning.
Yes, he took off real quick. I thought, where in the heck's he going, you know? And that's the reason why I called the next day, and I got a hold of headquarters, and one of the gals answered the phone that I've known for years, and I told her who I was. And he said, oh, how you been doing? I said, oh, not too bad. And I said, I got a question. why would a trooper, when I showed him a UFO, take off like a streak of lightning? Why did he do that? And she goes, well, they have a number they have to call now whenever somebody tells them about a UFO or sees one. And also if they see one, they have to call. And I says, oh, really? She goes, yes, I can't give you that number. I can't divulge what the number is, what it even starts with.
Wow.
But they have to report it ASAP. And I said, okay. I said, that's all I want to know. Thanks. And she goes, okay, have a good one. And then I hung up. She couldn't tell me anything, but I've got a pretty good idea who they call, you know. It's probably NORAD, I would assume.
Is that right?
Yeah. Or either that, the Men in Black. I don't know. I'm not sure who they would call, but my best bet would be NORAD.
That is really bizarre. Gosh, it's been about a year or two ago. Me and my wife were coming north on 71, and we just had an incredible sighting. I won't go into all the details now, but it was pretty spectacular. We saw this giant ball of light and then a craft come out of it, and it flew right over the expressway there. And it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. I couldn't believe that more people didn't pull over. They were just, I don't know if they weren't paying attention or they didn't want to see. It's kind of amazing. But from what you're saying, this must happen on a somewhat regular basis if they have a special number that they're supposed to call.
Yeah, Colorado is one of the hot spots, especially down around Alamosa and Mount Blanca down there. From what I understand and what we know about so far, there are, let's see, one, two, possibly three underground facilities in that area. Two of them are confirmed, but there's a possibility of three in that area. And one of them, matter of fact, I've seen the fence line too, because we had to go back on this old back road from this one little town just north of the sand dunes. And we didn't get too close because we didn't want to have any problems. We saw
right.
the fence with a bunch of signs on it, and took binoculars and took a look-see at it. And there was a lot of stuff on there that said, you know, no trespassing. The military has access, and that all intruders will be prosecuted to the fullest of extent. And they also have the right to shoot if possible.
The what's the UFO organization that you're associated with now?
MUFON, Mutual UFO Network.
So you are a part of MUFON then?
Yes, I am. I'm a state section director here in Texas with 23 counties in my charge. We kind of stay busy here in this county, or I mean my section. I believe most of the – we have – I'm not sure how many members we have in Texas itself as far as MUFON members, but my section alone, there's, I think, 31 or 32, counting myself. And there's, I think, five field investigators, including myself.
Hmm. So you're retired now. Are you pretty busy doing MUFON investigations?
Oh, yes, I am, very much so. They have several different sections in MUFON, which would be you got your state director or your international director, which is in charge of everything throughout the world. We got 20 some odd countries that are now involved with MUFON, and they have their own national directors. And then you have your state directors, and then you have your section directors. That, you know, control different parts of areas of each country or state or whatever the case may be. Like Texas, we have, I believe it's 14 sections, and I got, like I said, I got 23 counties in mind. And it goes from the Louisiana border almost down to Corpus Christi, which is about maybe 100 miles from my last county, and then all the way down to the Gulf. And it kind of stays busy a little bit. But and then you have CAG, which is the Case Assistance Group, which I'm a member of. And that is the ones that they give us a case that maybe, say, Washington, D.C., or the state of Washington, or Oregon, or somewhere like that, you know, and we do a case for that state because they need some help. They get backwatered a little bit, so, you know, we help them out a little bit. And the reason why I can do that is because I'm on a STAR team as well. The STAR team is a strategic outfit that basically goes out if somebody calls in to MUFON somewhere, and let's say a little small town. Let's see, what can I do? There's, say, around Alvin, Texas, which would be south of here, and you go west of that to almost nothing there, just a bunch of farms. And somebody calls in to Texas MUFON and says, "Hey, we have a landing. So we just saw a UFO land. It's still there." Then we grab what we got, our stuff already bagged up. We just grab it and go, and go down there real quick and see if we can't see it before it leaves, or we have to check out the area. We rope it off and do all kinds of tests we do all kinds of tests around the area.
Very, very interesting. Chuck, I have another caller that just called in. I don't know who this is. For all I know, this could be a crank call. So I just thought I'd give you a little warning, but I'm going to bring 951 on the air. 951, why don't you tell us your first name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from California. It's Nathaniel.
Okay. Nathaniel, did you have a question for our guest, Chuck?
Well, I was just listening. I just tuned in.
Okay. If you just want to listen, then I'll put you back on hold.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Anyway, sorry about that interruption. You know, I'm real glad that you called in. You know, you never know exactly. You know, when someone claims to have contact, it's always kind of a maybe. You know what I'm saying? And
right. It
sounds like you're very involved in this and you're dedicated to it. And, you know, you've been a policeman and a state trooper, so I'm glad I took the time to talk to you. And it would be interesting to get maybe even some updates maybe in the future. If you're coming across, are you coming across some pretty interesting cases right now?
Yeah, we have a few here that I haven't quite finished one of them, I think. I might have. But it's an abduction case.
Really?
And right now, I don't have it completely finished yet, so I really can't say too much about it. But the gentleman had claimed that he was watching the stars, you know, and when it was outside, and then he came back in, and went to bed. He said it was about maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30. He went back, he went ahead and went into bed. And then when he woke up, he was sitting in a lawn chair outside.
Really?
He can't understand how or why he got there, but evidently something took place. As soon as I get the whole case done and uploaded to the CMS files, it will be more or less public, the first 20 cases. The latest 20 cases go up to the public eye, and they can read what this person had wrote as far as what he thought took place, you know, et cetera. But he described things in detail of what he saw and it was just amazing.
So
and,
he had
I just
he had conscious memory, right?
Yes, yes, he had a conscious memory of what took place. Now, there's a lot of people that do. They know what took place. For some reason, they can keep it in their mind, even though sometimes some people don't, because the ETs, I guess you might say, can control your mind to where you can't understand what went on, or you can't remember what took place. But there's a few times. Now I don't know if I was ever taken. But I do know a year ago, April, I got my wish of going places here and there and talking to other beings. But as far as his case goes, it's just awesome. It's just amazing. Just, you know, listening to him talk and expressing how he felt and everything, it seems pretty legit.
Well, did you want to get into your case a little bit now and what happened with you? I'd be real interested to hear. Particularly, I don't know, how do you want to start? Do you want to start way at the beginning, or what do you think?
Well, what I'll do is I'll start with this. When I was in Colorado and doing my investigations up there, now I've been doing UFO abductions, mutilations, and all that stuff for over 23 years. I've only been with MUFON now going on 4 years. But I used to have my own groups, one up in Colorado, one down here. But they kind of like separated because everybody goes their own way sometimes. But anyway, up there in Colorado, whenever I had an abduction case, for instance, I would call a friend of mine. He was a professor up there in Laramie, Wyoming. And he was a hypnotic regression person for abductees. So I would send him people that would, you know, would want to have this done. And he would call me and say, this is what took place with this person. So, I appreciated that. Of course, he couldn't give me any actual details or anything because of doctor-patient privileges. But every once in a while, one of them would say, I want you to have a copy of my regression. So he would tell the person doing it to send me a copy, and I would get a copy. So far, I've only had three, I think it was, that allowed that. But anyway, he called me one day. He says, hey, Chuck, I'm coming down to Denver. He says, we got a conference going on. He says, you mind if I stop by? And I said, sure. So he stopped by. We talked for a few minutes, and he says, now, my wife was there, our daughter was there, and somebody else, I forget who it was. And he says, lay down on the couch. I said, huh? He says, I'm going to regress you. I said, why? He says, I think you know a little bit more what you think. I said, okay. So he put me under, and he told me that I would remember everything I talked about. And so when I woke up, you know, I could see my family there while this was going on, but I was yet back in time. And when I woke up, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what did you see? Because he wasn't going to tell me what I said. He wanted me to know what I said. And I said, I was at a party. We were having a big party up in Colorado. It's up in the mountains. It's up by Echo Lake. And it was getting pretty close to about 11 o'clock. And I said, hey, guys, I got to go. I got to go to work tomorrow, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's because this was on a Sunday. And then school was out for the week. I think it was spring break. I was a senior, I believe. And so I got in my car and I went on down. I started going down the canyon, and this canyon is probably about 30 some odd miles, okay, before I hit anything significant. And I started down, and I saw a flash of light. And next thing I know, I was 10 miles down the canyon from where I saw the light, sitting in my car on the side of the road. And in front of me, to my right or to my left a little bit, was this huge, humongous, I mean, if you take your arms and spread them all the way out, that's how big around it was by the naked eye, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been probably 50 miles away from me. I don't know, but it was quite a ways away. And it was a dull grayish-white color just sitting there. I looked at it, and then all of a sudden it just kind of like flared up real bright and poof, gone. And I thought, what in the world did I see? And that's all I can remember. I don't remember anything else, but yet it was 3:30 in the morning when I looked at my watch before I left from where I was sitting when I saw this object. It was 3:30 in the morning.
This giant ship that
I looked at my watch, I went, how come it took me 4 hours to get down here? You know, I couldn't figure that out. I kind of didn't want to talk about it, which I kind of put it in the back of my mind. And for the longest time, I forgot all about it until he did that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the regression.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen a couple of UFOs since then and whatnot. And then a year ago, April, when I was invited into a talk on Skype, that's when I met Sarek, who is a vegan, he's a reptilian, and he even asked, every time somebody wants to be involved, you might say, want to go up to have an experience, first thing that he would ask if they were trustworthy, you know, and just different questions. And, of course, the friend of mine that has contact with him all the time said, yes, he's very trustworthy. And so, I mean, he gave him a few extra little tidbits, but that's when he allowed me to go ahead and go up with my friend that night and rescue a couple of their stranded ships that are being pulled into the black hole. Now, the black hole, the nearest black hole to us are billions of light years away. And that's where we went. So you're looking at something that took place when we left at, it was about right around between 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning. When I felt the tingle, that's what woke me up, and I heard a grunt next to me. I said, sorry about that. Next thing I knew, I was aboard ship. You figure right around 3 o'clock in the morning until I woke up at 7:45 that morning. You're talking four hours, 45 minutes time frame that we went from here to the outer reaches of the galaxy by the black hole. Or even the, I don't know, it's quite a ways out there, and rescued these ships. They were kind of, there were some injuries and a couple of deaths, but other than that, we got them out of there. The crafts were okay, but they had to redo a couple of few things. But, and then back again, and just the time frame that I remember just a little bit. You're talking 4 hours, 45 minutes of time going that far out and coming back and doing what we did to get these ships back out, pulled away from the black hole. It's amazing, very, very amazing of how, what they can do as far as if you were taken, for instance, and when you wake up, it's maybe 10 minutes later, okay? It's a good possibility that they brought you back at the same time period, which they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a lot of times that when you're abducted, like this gentleman here was, then he was asleep, and then he woke up in his front yard in the lawn chair. I mean, 4 hours, you know, 4.5 hours later, whatever it was. And he just couldn't figure out where all that time went to and what happened. But yet he was describing all this stuff to me as far as tables and inside of a ship and different types of beings, what they looked like and stuff. I mean, his memory was good. He's an artist, and he said he's going to draw all this stuff and send it to me so I can put up the CMS files with his report. And it's quite interesting of his abduction. Now, since my first time with them last April, I've been up and down there many, many times. I've gotten to know a few other different types of beings, and like I said yesterday or last night, I've got some new friends, and they're not human, but I've got some new friends. And it's really interesting to try and communicate with some of these because of their cultures and how they live, you know. It's really interesting. There are a few times when I was up, I was not with on the battleship, and I was on another, on some other craft, and I could see buildings as we were going by, but it wasn't from Earth. It was somewhere else. It was a different type of planet. And when we went up, I would look down and, oh my goodness, you know, and there's city like lights here and lights here and lights here, but they were different. You know, I've been to maybe two or three different planets that I know of, that I can remember. One of them, when I was standing next to a tree, almost next to it anyway, but yet a craft came down, and I was watching it. It came down and landed, and a few beings got out of it, and then the craft took off. I watched it taken off, and then some of the beings, they walking by me, Hey, you know, I turned around. One of them said, are you coming? And I turned around and looked. And I said, okay. And this house, this big building, I would say, seemed like to be a house, was all white. And went inside, everything inside was white. I mean, everything, totally white. Bedrooms, you name it, everything. And you go out the back door, the back of it, you walk down some steps and you're looking out over like an ocean type thing, and you can walk along a path and turn in towards the forest, and there's the big waterfalls. And it's just, I mean, it was so amazing to see this and to try to understand why I'm in another planet in different areas. The beings that I would see at these places are, one of them was like in a gray family, but they're tall and they're very nice people, beings per se, and evidently they were seeing me as one as well. I don't know, but it was just amazing. It's hard for me to believe, okay, that I went to some of these places and seen other things that are amazing. Even going through the universe or the galaxy, going across the galaxy or something, to go towards where the war was, the galactic war, go out there on the battleship and how quick we can get there. I mean, just within minutes, it seems like, because everything just zipping by so fast. And once we were there, then we kind of hovered, and then there was a battle going on, and I was seeing it. And as a military person, some of the stuff that they have to, I guess, fight with, in a sense, battling other ships. They're not. Now, some of the older ones that were out there, some of the ships that were out there had lasers. But the ones that I was on, they were, how can I put this, they were like plasma balls, okay? Huge, huge plasma balls, blue ones and red ones. The red ones were the destructive type. The blue ones were the disabling type. And it would knock out all the electronics or whatever the case may be for that ship. And then the people of the ship that I'm on, they would have a couple other smaller ships go out with a bunch of their kind to board and do what they have to do, you know, as far as either taking prisoners or taking stuff out of there and you know, whatever the case may be. But then they would blow it up. But it's just one of those things. The ones that they were fighting are the ones that are trying to devastate planets throughout the universe to take what they can from that planet and just leave it bare and you know, barren, just like, say, Mars is, okay, or even the moon as far as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Completely
Chuck,
barren.
Do you care if we take like maybe a two-minute break? I usually like to take a break at about the half-an-hour mark. Is that okay with you?
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, let's take that. Folks, you're listening to iOS Football. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We've got an interesting guest today, Chuck, who is a MUFON state director from Texas, and he's been investigating the UFO phenomena for the past 23 years. Chuck, I appreciate you calling in and coming on board this afternoon. I wanted to ask you a few questions, if that's okay. You talked about seeing this giant mothership at the beginning of your discussion there. Now, did you see that ship when you were conscious, or was that part of your regression?
That was part of my regression. I didn't actually see it to begin with. When I saw the flash of white light, because I was driving, I just started driving down the canyon. I got maybe 1 or 2 miles, and that's when a big flash of light. I thought, "What the heck?" And next thing I know, I woke up in my car 10 miles down the road.
And did this happen roughly about the time you were in high school?
Yes, I was a senior in high school at the time. There's a few of us that likes to party sometimes elsewhere other than parents could find us. You know, so we went up the mountains up there at Echo Lake. And Echo Lake is really nice. And there's a road that goes all the way up on top of the mountain too as well. And it's quite cold up there. I think it's like 14,000 feet up. But they have a restaurant and all that stuff up there as well. But at that time, I couldn't figure out what took place. I guess at that time, and it just I just put it in the back of my head and left it there, and never even thought about it again until he pulled it out of me.
So in other words, if I'm understanding you correctly, you had no conscious memory of that whatsoever.
No.
Okay.
I had no conscious memory. I just couldn't figure out where did the hours go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how come I'm sitting here? Unless my first thought was, I kind of got drowsy. I pulled over and I stopped to sleep for a few hours or something. You know, and that was my thought.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that object, when I woke up, when I saw that object, I thought, "What the heck is that?" You know, and then phew, gone. And I never thought anything else about it.
Okay. And you said that you met a reptilian via Skype?
Yeah. The gentleman, I'll even say his name. His name's Keith. Everybody pretty much knows him. Keith called me into Skype, and there was a gentleman, his wife, Keith, and his girlfriend, and then myself. It's five of us. And he says, "I got you here for a reason." He said, "Do you have, do you have Microsoft Word?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." He says, "Good." He says, "Open it up." And he says, "When the typing starts," he says, "I need you to type. I need you to copy and paste as fast as you can." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what's this all about?" And about this time, the one gentleman that was there with his wife, all of a sudden looked like she was in a daze and then started typing a whole bunch of, like, binary letters, you know, the O's and ones.
Mm-hmm.
It was doing a lot of that at first and with numbers. And then there was, like, little dots and dashes and just all kinds of just different things. There was two separate types of languages there that were being typed up, and I was really going real fast, you know, pasting, you know, copy paste, and then she would stop that and then put her fingers together, you know, like tip to tip, and then go upwards like something flew apart, and she was talking in a language I've never heard before.
Now this
and
was
he
a,
was talking to him.
This
ahead.
Person was sitting beside
she
you,
was,
or she was on Skype.
She was on Skype, and,
okay.
And she was the person who Sarek was using as I forget what you call him. A channel.
A channel.
He was channeling through her. Okay.
Okay.
And he would be talking his language, and then Keith would be talking a language too back to him. And because I never, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm going, "What kind of languages are those?" And I was thinking about this. And when he left for the first time, he just kind of all of a sudden looked up. she did anyway, and looked straight up, and then brought the head down, and he said in English, "I must go." And next thing you know, she shook her head a little bit. She goes, "What did I miss?" She has no idea. She had no idea what was going on or what he was saying. And I asked Keith, I said, "What is all these numbers? What's all these letters and dashes?" And he says, "That's languages." I said, "What do you mean languages?" And he said, "For them and for the sea fairies, what they call the sea fairies that live right here on Earth in the oceans, these are beings that also are helping to contain Earth as it is."
Chuck, I tried to send you an email earlier and it bounced. Are you sitting close to your computer now?
Yeah, I'm sitting
okay,
right here.
Let me give you an email address, and if you could send me an email, just a hello. The email address is exopolitics@gmail.com. So if you were able to get that down, EXO.
Yeah, EXOPOLITICS Ohio.
Yeah. Okay. And I just want to make sure that I have your email.
Okay.
There's going to be a few questions I wanted to ask you off the air. Probably be better as well. And plus, I'll just have that contact as well, which I want. Like to have.
Okay, that's good.
So you sent it?
I'm going to be doing that here in a minute. I'm trying to get everything going here.
All right, that's okay. That's okay. Just try to send that, and I will check my email. So you've had conscious memory events. You are also regressed. Can you give us any more details? You said you were aboard one of these very large ships. Can you give us any more details of what the ship looked like? I mean, from the inside and the outside.
Well, from the inside is what I'm thinking of is there was like some of it was a grayish color. Some of it was white, in a sense, but low ceilings in different places, like hallways,
mm-hmm.
and the beings, the vegans, being the reptilian, they get down on all fours and they walk through there. Of course, I have to bend just a little bit, maybe just a couple inches, and I can walk through there.
Mm-hmm.
But when they stand up, they're pretty high. I mean, he's about 7 foot, you know, or so,
mm-hmm.
and then you have all these different sections, in a sense, for each type of being that is on board this craft, because it is a battleship. And they all work together as one, you know, to control of our galaxy, make sure it's safe. And I'm not talking about just Earth. I'm talking about the whole galaxy. Because our galaxy is one of the richest galaxies in the universe, from what I've been told, and by some of these beings. So it's really quite interesting to see all these different types of beings, you know, in one place. That is, I mean, it's just amazing. It's hard to really comprehend the fact that they all get together and do what they have to do to keep an area safe. And
did they bring you aboard the ship, or did the ship land? Did you walk aboard? How did you get on board?
That's a good question. Like I said, all I can remember is I feel a tingling around my body, and next thing I know, I'm aboard ship. I'm definitely, I must be either out or asleep or something when they take me up. Sometimes I can feel it starting going up. But then once I'm on board, you know, I don't know how how they do that, but they bring me on board. I can hear the ship coming sometimes if I'm still awake. I'll hear a ship go by. But then once I'm asleep, I don't hear anything. But I'm pretty sure they have a smaller ship that comes over here and probably hovers up above, either beams me up or they come and get me and put me on board that ship, and then we go up to the major ship, which is quite a ways away. It only takes a matter of minutes or maybe even half an hour, if that. Then I'm on board ship. But as far as from point A to point B, I don't know how they do it. But they have been training me in separate areas on board that ship. They even showed me the human quarters, which is pretty good size. They've got separate, basically a lot of bedrooms, and they have a galley there for food and stuff and just all kinds of stuff in there. I mean, it is huge because you have a couple of hundred humans that are living up there, and they eat things like we do on Earth, because when you have landings on this Earth, they take certain things, and those certain things would be parts of what we need to eat or what we need to survive here on Earth. So it's the same thing, you know. And they have the water, and they have all the different other kind of stuff. And a question was asked of me one day when I was telling this story. How do they get some of this stuff? And I said, well, let me tell you this way. You have humans that are up there. They basically know what to get and where to shop. So they take them down and let them go do their shopping and everything, and then they bring them back up. That's how that works.
Very, very strange indeed.
Yes, it is.
Now, the email that I tried to contact you at was intufobufs@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Now that bounced.
Let me get out of this. I'm trying to get out of this thing right here. I will go in there and I'll send you an email here in a second. And also, okay. I'll try to upload the picture.
Okay. That's good. Very, very good. Now, other than this picture which you've drawn, do you have any kind of physical evidence, any photographs or sound recordings?
No, I asked if there is a possibility to bring a camera on board and allow me to take pictures, and he flat said not at this time, but maybe later.
Okay.
I didn't talk to him, but I talked to Keith, and I said, would you ask him, when he said maybe later, it's been over a year and a half now, so can I take my camera on board and maybe take some pictures from when you got a hallway that you can go down, and the bulkhead is right there. And you can look out. You can see the stars. You can see the planets and stuff going by. And even when we're hovering out there, you just take a look, see out there, and it's just amazing. It's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I always want to take pictures of like that, so I'll have some evidence in a sense. And yet they're not allowing me for a camera yet because I think they're afraid of me taking pictures of them. And I won't do that unless they allow me to.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, yeah. Makes a whole lot of sense because you've got to really be careful when you're making new friends and especially when they're not human and they're from other worlds. You've got to get their trust and they've got to get your trust. So, you know, it's just one of those kind of things.
You talked about this fellow named Keith, and evidently Keith has had contact as well.
Yes, he's a contactee. He talks about it. He's also got a I think he still has the radio station. I'm not sure. But, he does have a Facebook. I can't remember the name of the what he's got on there, but I'd have to look on it and let you know about that as well. You can check it out. But,
now, you were a state section director for Texas and MUFON?
Yes, I'm a state section director, not a state director, but a state section director.
Okay, and what?
See, the state director controls the whole state.
Okay,
the
what
section
do you control?
Is what I got.
What do you have again?
I have 23 counties, which is 2 and 3 deep from the Gulf up and all the way to the Louisiana border and down to Calhoun County is my last county down next to the Gulf. And it's where I'm at right now in Rosenberg, Texas. I'm basically halfway. I'm right smack in the middle of my sections. I can go 75 miles south of the Gulf, and I can go 75 miles north or so to the end of my section. Then I can go 110, 120 miles, between 110, 120 miles to the Louisiana border, and then between 110, 120 miles down to my last county. So I'm basically sitting right smack in the middle of my section.
And what's the name
of
your?
Like that.
What's the name of your section again?
My section is Texas MUFON section 12.
Section 12.
Yes,
okay.
Section 12.
All right.
I haven't changed my section number on my email yet because I just keep forgetting about it. But we used to have 18 sections. We only have 14 now. So
okay.
Minus section 12.
How many investigators are there in Texas right now besides yourself from MUFON?
In Texas itself, I think we have like 40.
40?
I think so. Something like that in the state of Texas. Texas is pretty huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those counties are big. We have one section that only has 10 counties, but those 10 counties are as big as my section by itself, you know. But it's just one of those things.
Understood. Well, Chuck, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. I wanted to kind of keep this first interview down to about an hour so we could touch base. In the remaining, well, I think we got like 5 minutes or so on the stream, is there anything else that you wanted to tell the listeners?
No, just to look up in the sky as always, carry a camera, pencil and paper if you have to make a drawing or get interviews from other witnesses, basically, so you'll have something to deal with when you report something. Report to MUFON. It's MUFON.com, and just go there and make a report. And it's very interesting to hear and see some of the photos, videos of everybody that does have things like that. And it's just amazing.
Well, I'll be waiting for your email, and be sure to include your last name. And I just will follow up a little bit. I want to check with MUFON and make sure you're who you say you are and that sort of thing. And then maybe we can follow up a little bit more on your story at a later date and that sort of thing. That sounds okay to you.
Yeah, that sounds okay to me because the email I'm sending is chuck@mufontex.com or .org. And my full name is right there with and it says Texas MUFON Section 12 Director. Well, it says 16, but it's supposed to be 12. Star Team Field Investigators, got my cell number,
great.
Our group website, everything on it. So.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Chuck. I really appreciate it. It's been an interesting discussion.
Thank you for having me again, and hope to maybe talk to you again.
Sounds like a plan. Have a good day, sir.
Have a good day, y'all, and always look up.
All righty. We'll talk to you later.